Okay, we have a banquet on a week from Friday. Yes, the Friday before our Bible College convention, and that is our missions banquet. So we have a short video clip from last year, so we'll show that to you now for a minute.
Everyone's lost. Everyone is a slave to something. Everyone is trying to get out of the unescapable, you know, dilemma that their life is in. And you see people like that in the mission field. And you look at people, you know there's no hope outside of Christ. In the world, people don't know that they're accepted. People feel left out. People feel hopeless. I mean, that's the great barrier that exists in the world. People are separated from God, and the cross is the door that unites people. And that is unbelievable that we can tell somebody that someone is holy before a holy God who knew before that he was a sinner. Hope is being a part of the body of Jesus Christ, being, you know, just every person you see, you think that they could be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, or they could be knit, or they could have an eternal purpose where they would become much bigger than they are actually if they're alone as an individual. You live with this expectation or this hope that God is going to take somebody that you don't know, somebody that's lost, and he's going to place them inside of the holy body of Jesus Christ, where Christ is the head. We carry the message of the finished work to the mission field. That's what's so unique about us. That's what's so unique about our ministry, is there is the cross. And it's not just a, you know, something on top of a church, but it's something that's in our life, and it's something that we're adjusting to every day. It's something that is so personal in our life. It's something that we have experienced that has brought deliverance in our life time and time again. And not that it's delivered us from our problem, but it's delivered us to a fellowship. It's delivered us to God. It's delivered us to the presence of God. It's taken us out of the miry clay, out of a judged life, and it's placed us in a place where we have eternal purpose. It's placed us in a place where we feel so connected to the head. And we know that we're the body, and we're just sensing God's purpose.
All right, would you turn in your Bibles, please, for the message tonight. How many would like to hear Pastor Butch Vieta preach one of these nights? Yeah. So that's that will happen. Amen. The short video and the banquet is designed to give information. We'll have a nice meal together. There'll be some video material. We'll have a beautiful evening that night. That is a week from Friday. Tickets are for sale. You can register and get it online. And I don't know if there's other ways, but how many of you don't use a computer? You really don't use one, basically. You don't have to be. How many of you use one? Okay, what are the other people that did, you know, like it's one or the, you know. All right, so I don't so much myself. Actually, I use it only for a certain few functions. But there are, you can pick up the phone, ask questions. The community groups that Pastor Brian shared the vision Sunday night. If you're not on a computer, you can just, we will find you and we will, you know, you will have phone. You have a phone and we are excited about what God is doing here in Baltimore and then also I wish I could share from my heart the history that and the what Dr. Stevens called the fragrance of memory. I was in New Hampshire once a couple years ago, and I walked into a building and I smelled something that reminded me of Bible College in Maine. And it, like, I haven't smelled it for 40 years, you know. But immediately, I stopped there in the staircase, and I had a fragrance of memory. I think it was the glue on the carpet. I do not know. But I have not smelled it, only in that building and in that building. Anyway, our vision, and 50 years ago plus, Pastor Stevens at a pond up in Maine was spoken to by Christ in his heart about having a faith vision and starting a Bible college. And I think the idea would be you are not qualified to start a Bible college. The words or the devil or your own insecurity, I am not qualified to start a Bible college. But God said, start a Bible college. And then teach them soul winning, teach them faith, teach them to live in the Spirit, teach them to believe me. And so this has been going on. And today, 3,500 students around the world sat down in a Bible college classroom somewhere in the world that are learning the things that we are teaching here from our Bible. And then the orphanages, the day schools, the Bible studies, the old people's homes, the prison work, the street evangelism, the sketchboarding, the mercy counseling, the Nepal earthquake relief fund, the Haiti relief fund a few years ago, all of these things. La Gracia, maybe some of you were on the ship. Were you on the ship La Gracia? Just raise your hand. There's a few survivors there, and Ed, the guy that started it up. This was a work of the Spirit, and the good news is that God's people, we are following Christ in faith, in the same vision, with the same Spirit saying, you can do it, or believe me. Tonight is Old Testament night, so we have one portion here, 1 Samuel 20. And I really have a lot of things to say tonight, and I wonder how it's all going to come out. So it'll be great. That's the answer to that question. I wonder how it'll come. It'll come out awesome. It'll come out awesome. Okay, chapter 20. Is that Mrs. Vieta? 90 years old. Stand up. 90 years old. Look at that. Man. Wow. That's what eating Cheerios will do to you right there. You make it all the way to 90. Okay, okay, let's go. Chapter 20, verse 18. This one, a little phrase here. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is a new moon, and you shall be missed, because your seat will be empty." The context is, and yeah, I love it that in our Bible study and our teaching, we let you decide if the verse is a rhema, if the verse applies, if the verse touches your heart, if the verse is useful for you. We can go all over the Bible because we have spiritual liberty. There is one historical, literal interpretation of this, but there are many spiritual applications. The historical context is that Jonathan and David are talking, and Jonathan is saying to David, "My father's going to kill you." And David so far has been saying, "Oh, golly, gee whiz, I don't think so." And Jonathan is saying, "He's going to kill you. There's no question about it." And so they have this plan. And he said, David said, "Tomorrow there is a feast with your dad, but I will miss it." And then you check out his reaction. If he says, "Oh, his seat is empty. Oh, he has to go sacrifice with his family," that's fine. Don't worry about it. But if he is raving mad about it, then you know that he's going to kill me. Or I will accept the fact that he will kill me. This is the context. But the phrase here that I want you to use in application for us is simply that you have a seat. You have a seat. Like, look underneath your seat when you're dismissed tonight. See if your name is written on your chair. Sometimes I have said that to people. I want you to write your name at the bottom of the chair. Don't tell John Nielsen this. That's your chair. That's your place. This is your seat. If you're not there, you shall be missed. This is the idea. And the idea is here that you will be missed and the man will be angry. But in our case with God, when God misses us, he is sad. And there have been people that God has lost. The first one in the Bible was Adam and Eve. But you have a seat. You have a place in God's mind. You have an eternal purpose. God has a plan for your life. He really does. And it is very exciting. It's very personal when you realize that I have a place. We see it again here in Proverbs. Turn there with me, please. 27. Verse 8. As a bird that wanders from her nest, so is the man that wanders from his place. Do you see it? Did I say the same right verses? 27:8. A bird that wanders from her nest. Psalm 90, Moses wrote the Psalm 90, and he said, "God, you are our habitation." And he said that in the wilderness when he wrote the Psalm 90, verse 1, "Count us and allow us, to count our name. May we count our days. May our secret sins be in the light of your countenance. I don't want to run away from you, God. Psalm 139. Search me, see if there is any evil way in me. I was thinking, because we had a healing service Sunday night, and one of our pastors said that he had prayed for 12 to 14 people, and out of the 12 or 14 people, about 8 of them said that they needed prayer because they were worrying. They were afraid. Some said they were depressed. And I was thinking about this, that in the conscience of man, if we could draw it like this block, the conscience of man, there are like extremes on both ends, so to speak, of the conscience. People are sometimes overly sensitive about themselves. We are conscientious, or we are worried about whether my life is meaningful or valuable, or we are too extreme and sensitive about, have I offended you? Have I hurt you? Have I failed God? Have I failed my brother or my sister? The other extreme is a hardened or seared conscience, where I really don't care at all about much relating to God and his will. I think these people can miss their seat. They are missed because they are careless, not sensitive to what God has for them. And then I think these people can be overly introspective on this end, introspective, always examining themselves and lose their joy. They are introspective, and they wander like a bird away from his nest, and a man leaving his place because he is feeling in his own conscience that he has failed or not doing what he should do, or he's not satisfied with himself, or he's guilty for what he has done or has not done. Turn to the end of Romans 14, please. Romans chapter 14. I think this is a very important verse for us. We have one brother in our ministry who does not eat meat. He is a vegetarian. Probably we have many, but this one is a European brother who does not eat meat or fish. And he doesn't talk about it. He just doesn't do it, and it's not an issue to him. Others devour large quantities of beef and other fatty meats, pork and chicken. Pastor Coop loves chicken. Verse 22, Romans 14, verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. I think there are a lot of things that we call them gray areas. Maybe somebody worships God on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, some on Sunday. And the writer here is saying, Paul, have faith. Whatever you do, worship God on Saturday, that's fine. Do it on Sunday, that's fine. On Monday, you want to have church services on Tuesday, that's fine. You want to work on Sunday, that's fine. You're free. You're not subject to the Ten Commandments in that sense. But you are not called to be guilty. You are not called to be condemned. You are called to grace. You have a seat in the fellowship where you drink the same Spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of grace. Grace, grace be unto us. Look at verse 22. Have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. Have it to yourself before God. Amazing. I didn't do my devotion this morning. I get in the car. I have faith before God. I'm not guilty, condemned, because of something that I feel I should do, and maybe I do it regularly. But my devotion is not, or my absence of it is not strong enough to take away from me the real issue, which is I have a place in God's heart. I have a place in God's plan. I have a place in His prayer. Christ prays for me. What about this kind of devotion? Lord, I got up this morning, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I'm glad you're praying for me, because my prayer amounts to about nothing. Your prayers are powerful. And Jesus says, thank you very much for being at the very center of your life. That's an awesome thought. Look at verse 22. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. I really wonder how much would be allowed before God with us, his people. I wonder how wide it is, how his will is really more along the lines of, I want you to know me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know my nature. I want you to be Spirit-filled and enjoy what I have for you. Verse 23, and he that doubteth, this is a perfect verse for some of us, as you are eating the vegetables or the meat, or the meat offered to idols in this case, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Somebody could run in a marathon and say, am I doing God's will? And what is our answer? Run, just bring it before God. Live in the light. Live in love, live in faith, and do whatever you do, do it in faith. Run the marathon in faith. Just don't do it on Sunday morning when you should be in church. And if you happen to do it, then you do it in faith. Happy is a man that condemneth not himself in the thing that he allows. My conscience can be overly sensitive, and I can be very guilty about my life and very introspective, and there could be reason for that because of my self-image being so beat up by my upbringing. If I was brought up in a certain way and my mom and dad were always on my case and beating me up, it's very possible as I grew up as an adult that I do the same thing to myself every day. But this must be dealt with by God's grace, by a life of faith. It must be dealt with by the finished work, and realize that I have died with Christ. And now I live, but it's not me. It's Christ in me. We might say, well, that's a good Bible verse, and I've quoted it before, but it doesn't seem to be really getting in my heart. I have this little story about jealousy. It's a sad one. The pastor said, I married a couple several years ago whom I shall not soon forget. During the premarital counseling sessions, I detected a strong jealous streak in the young man. I mentioned this to both of them, but they passed it off as not that important. He assured me he used to struggle a little with it, but no more. Following their honeymoon in the first few months of marriage, they returned for some follow-up time. And what a change. Brimming with anger, she blurted out, "This man is so jealous of me. Before he leaves for work in the morning, he checks the odometer on my car. Then when he comes home, sometimes even before he comes into the house, he checks it again. If I have driven a few extra miles, he quizzes me during supper." Lacking trust and encouragement, she was dying slowly, sadly, angrily. We are not surprised that we have problems, but we also must labor, make the effort to see Christ change us. And I'm amazed in the work of the ministry, sometimes I see men and women, they refuse to change. They refuse to live in the light. Their seat is empty. When they run into some problems or they're challenged in their personal life, their seat is empty and they are missed. But they may be missed because of this. Because though we are saying we have all kinds of liberty, but our liberty is not a liberty of the flesh, it is a liberty of the Spirit. I need what Christ says to me in this amazing book that Dr. Stevens, through the years, would minister to us and say, face it, be responsible. Take the responsibility, come to Christ, be Spirit-filled, do not hide your sin, show up, be there, even if it hurts, come to the church. And the great changes that happen are not because I hear one message a week, but it's because God begins to speak to me and I begin to listen to Him and say to Him every day, Lord, I am lying. And I confess it to you. Lord, I am jealous, and this has to change because I'm ruining my marriage by my jealousy. Lord, I need help. We heard Big Dave say it in the offering. I need help. This produces this spirit of joy, this anointing of the Spirit, and this cry in the heart and understanding of who Christ is in my life personally. Turn to Psalm 126, please. Remember the days in Lenox? Remember the messages that we would hear? Remember Throne Words message? Remember going out on bus ministry? Remember working so hard you collapsed exhausted on your bed at night and get up early for the prayer meeting in the morning? Remember having a vision and saying, going to the airport and getting on an airplane and somebody said, where are you going? You said, I don't know. I'm going to this country. Have you ever been there before? No. Do you know anybody there? No, nobody. Do you have any money? I got $7. And I got a password. Why are you going? Jesus is sending me. We are going because Jesus sent. My church is sending me. I hope they are. Actually, now that I think of it, I definitely hope they are. That is in the history of this amazing work. Because our seed is not empty. God is doing something beyond the dimensions of flesh and blood. And when we beat up ourselves like we do in a foolish way, thinking that missing a devotional, missing a prayer time, or not reading the Bible as much as I should, or any of these things, not being who I should be, can destroy the work of God. Oh no. God is God, and God's hand is on each and every one of us. Every one of us, each of us, and he has put us here for a great purpose. More than 50 years of it, and we can see it. God is in it. God is doing it. God is with us. God is encouraging us. God is answering prayer. I think I've never worked with a greater. You know why we are better than we used to be? And I say that in a sacred way. I think you're a better Christian than you used to be because you have not left your seat for the last 5 years or 10 or 15 or 30 or 40. That you're not missing. You are there. I think you are a greater believer because you have been invested by the Spirit of God and what he wants to say to you. And now you got a Bible verse for tonight tucked away in your spiritual memory. And it is, you will be missed. Your seat will be empty and you will be missed. And in the context, as we explained, it is a bad thing. But in our application, it is Jesus saying, after his resurrection, where is Peter? I need to meet Peter. Where is Peter? I need to restore Peter. I need to find Peter. Peter's failure is not going to stop the kingdom. Peter's failure is not going to stop what I am doing. Peter's failure is not going to stop my plan. I have called Peter and anointed him and called him and used him, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against what I am doing, Christ said. Amazing. So we have something going on in our life that is bigger than mowing our lawns. Have you ever mowed your lawn and just said, when is this going to get over? Cooking dinner, doing the laundry again, fixing our cars again, going for a walk again. Is that Paul and Lati? Would you like to stand up just for a second? Paul and Lati from Africa. Good to have them here. 5 years on the mission field. You know, where did they come from? 5 years on the mission field. Here's the answer. He's from Northern Ireland. A little town up there where they speak with this beautiful accent. And she is from France. She's a sophisticated French woman. European high quality woman. And he's from the farmlands of the Emerald Isle. Okay, so where did they come from? God did it. He did it. And it's used them, and that's a beautiful thing. But I'm just saying, and I'm just enjoying the fellowship here tonight, and hope this is going to speak to our hearts. Look at Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Captivity in Babylon, captivity with my enemies, captivity in the dull, boring life somewhere, captivity of my sin nature in the story, captivity of my jealousy that is eating up my life and my wife and my friendships and everything else that is going on. The captivity of having to go to the casino and Friday night and just pulling that with the arm bandit or whatever, and just hearing the money drop into the two coins, and you spend $1,000 to hear two coins drop into a tray, and you say, congratulations. I have captivity. But when the Lord turned my captivity, when he gave me not the flesh but the Spirit of God, when he filled me with the Spirit of God, when he turned my captivity, verse 1, we were like them that dream. That's so beautiful. Dreaming. Lying in bed at night, loving God so much you just want to love him more. Going to bed at night with perfect peace in your heart. Going to bed at night saying, what is God doing? What is God going to do? What is God doing? I've got a dream. Going to bed at night, I am free. With Jesus, it's all very possible. I have a dream. That's what we say because we are like children again. We got the joy back, the little bubbly going on inside the heart. We got the joy back. A merry heart does good like medicine. I've been thinking recently about being very, very, very thankful and saying it with my voice. I've been thinking about singing loudly. I've been thinking about loud music. I've been thinking about dancing in the street. I've been thinking about rejoicing in everything that I got. Because, listen, we've got the kingdom. We've got eternal life. We've got forgiveness of all our sin. That's amazing. Verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Let's do it right now. Let's do it. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. Praise you, Lord God. I am not guilty of my sin. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Why are you laughing? Because I got eternal life. I've got a living Christ. I've got a God that answers prayer. I've got victory over death. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Come on, dance on the grave. Hey, go to the hospital and go through all those machines in the hospitals. Go to the x-ray machine, the PET, the scanning machine, the MRI machine. Yeah, ha, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. That's right. That's right. That's us. Oh, grave, where is your, scanning machine? What are your results? I could care less. Christ said, rejoice that your name is in the book of life in Luke chapter 10. Let's finish up. Look at verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, listen to the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. They're out of their minds. The Lord, what has God done for them? Why do they want to meet on a Wednesday night? Why do they want to meet on a Sunday night? Why do they want to go to a prayer meeting? Why are they devouring the Bible? Why are they sharing the message in the streets of Baltimore? Why do they want to go up to Philadelphia? Why do they want to go to Stewartstown, Pennsylvania, and Cumberland, Pennsylvania, Alexandria, Virginia, and start a Bible study on the Eastern Shore? Because we've always done it through our history. And Christ has been with us, and because we're not stopping, because we are not guilty of our stuff. Look at this picture. Introspective, and I start to drag my hands like a little chimpanzee on the ground. I'm depressed. The shoulders roll forward. My hands get dirty because I'm dragging them in the dirt. And that's me. Because I am introspective. But no, we have faith. Then verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Wow. You know what? I am not tempted with alcohol. I just am not. I have a good time without it. I save a lot of money without it. I got better friends without it. And even the people that drink would like me to hang around and be with them because I am good company. I am good company without it. I can tell jokes and stories. I actually make more sense than they do. And have a good time at it. And we are living in reality while they are playing a game. I'd rather be in this church than any other place. I'd rather have this vision than any other. I'd rather be part of your fellowship than any other group. I'd rather have my seat, and I want to have my seat, and I don't want to be missing in it. I want to be there in it. And then verse 4, turn again our captivity. O Lord, as the streams in the south, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Yes, tears come. Tears happen. Tears of pain and sorrow, also tears of joy. Tears happen in this life, but that's not going to stop me from sitting in my seat and being there, because I will be missed. Some of our brothers and sisters through the years, they've gone to be with Christ, and their seat is empty, but they are with Christ, and they are in God's perfect plan. But still, in a way, we miss them, but in another hand, if Christ is here, the room is full. If Christ is here, we are satisfied. If Christ is here, then we have something that this world needs. He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. Lord says, do you doubt me? No, Lord, we've seen the Indians, 14 Indian pastors up here during the convention, 20 African pastors. Doubtless we come again, and so on, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Would you pray with me? Just say this prayer if you want Jesus in your life. You want Christ in your life. Deep joy, deep peace. Peter said that this is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christ said, my joy I give you, that your joy might be full. My peace I give you, not as the world. I give you my peace, my joy. In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. And say to him, Jesus, I accept you. I believe in you. Raise your hand here tonight. If you're accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, do not hold back. Come by faith as a sinner, guilty of sin, but God forgiving you. Raise your hand, anyone at all. Raise your hand on the internet. Please say it. It's important. It's critical. It's valuable. Please say it's eternal. Yes, Christ, I believe in you. It is spiritual. It is by faith. And it is very real. Yes, Christ, I believe in you. I do. And then to all the believers here tonight, we just say, Lord, thank you for restoring, healing, forgiving, guiding, and leading. We will face our stuff by faith. Good or bad, we will not stop. Our seat will not be empty. We will be here because God is here and he's leading us in faith. In Christ's name, amen.